June 8, 2016, Beis Sivan, Tavshin Ayin Vav. And return to Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Vav. So there is Yaakov is beginning to relent here. Yaakov finally realizes that he's going to have to send Binyamin down to see Yosef. And the Pasuk says, Vayomi Yisrael, Lama Hari Usem Li, Lagid L'Isha Od Lachem Chai. Why did you treat me so ill? By telling the man that you had another brother. Why did you treat me so ill? So first of all, we've pointed out a few times already that it's interesting that he uses the word Yisrael throughout this entire narrative of Yosef being sent out to Mitzrayim, the entire conversation, the name Yaakov is used. So why all of a sudden here is the word Yisrael used? So Bruce had his suggestion, although we had difficult understanding according to Bruce's suggestion, but I came across something that the Netziv writes, somewhat, you'll see what I mean, I think he seems to be cryptically alluding to something else. But Vayomri Yisrael, so says the Netziv, Ksiv Kan Shem Yisrael, it says here the name Yisrael. Kiva Bekan Lelamdeim Das Ledoros, was it is coming to teach a lesson for all generations. Habayim Asher Yu Begalus, that are to come, that are going to be in Galus. V'yamdulios Nishpat Lifnei Adonim, and then are going to be judged in front of the masters, in front of the foreign governments. Shalo Ledaber Yoser Mihatshuva Al Hasha'ela. Don't answer more than you were asked. I don't know. It seems to be cryptically alluding to something. I don't know if there's any experience in the Netziv's life that he's talking about.
That's advice they give you whenever you go to court.
Right, no, that's true. But that would warrant a change of the name of Yaakov in this circumstance to teach that lesson, it's a little surprising. So there is actually somebody in town who did his doctorate on the Netziv, Dr. Gil Pearl, Rabbi Dr. Gil Pearl, is the principal of Kohelet. So he did his doctorate on the Netziv. He also has a book out about the Netziv. So I sent him a note asking if he knows anything or has anything from the narrative of Yaakov, of the Netziv's life that would warrant this type of message. But that's interesting. But it doesn't seem to fall very well within the regular rules. So what are the regular rules about when Yisrael is mentioned, when Yaakov is mentioned? So Bruce has a suggestion, but he's not giving the here I am, so I get to say my suggestion, which is that Yisrael, Yaakov is the general life of Yaakov, and Yisrael is Kisara Kela. He had a battle with the angel, and then he was victorious. So generally, Yisrael is the term used for victory, while the term Yaakov is used for the term struggle. So this entire, if it's in very well, this entire narrative, he is struggling, struggle, 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 and therefore he's the entire time referred to as Yaakov, except for all of a sudden here. Now, I didn't see too many people make a mention here. I came across something on the Gush website from Michael Rosenzweig, who's a Rosh Hashiv at YU, I guess at some point he wrote something for the Gush website where he makes a point about this. But he only makes a point of, you see the term Yaakov is used the entire time, and the fact that there's an exception to the rule in Mem Gimel Vav accentuates that point. Right? But the fact that you're caught off guard by the fact that it uses Yisrael here, so that shows that the entire time it's using Yaakov. But wait a second, it's not answering the question as to why it's being used here. So in what way is Yaakov being victorious?
The
struggle and was victorious. It is a reference to the struggle, but it's a reference to the victory after the struggle.
That's part of the word.
We overcame, yeah.
Struggle with mankind, God.
Struggle with the Almighty. By Yisrael Yaakov, by Yom Yisrael Yisrael Yisrael, right, but you cry Yaakov, Shema Kompani, no. He said Yaakov. He says your name is not going to be Yaakov, ki im Yisrael, ki sarisa im Elokim vi im anashim vatuchal. Yeah, because for you have striven with the divine and with man and have overcome. So in what way is Yaakov being victorious? So perhaps the answer is that he finally realized that I have to send Binyamin, and he sent Binyamin. But that itself was a victory. It was a struggle, and then it was a victory to ultimately to finally send Binyamin in order to get the food. So perhaps one could suggest that. The only problem with saying that is what?
It's not a victory. More than a victory.
Why not?
This is so low.
So he's concerned.
Well, it's the beginning of the victory. But you're still left with, he had no choice. Right, he had no choice. Right, as Rashi points out, that he was the argument that Yehuda used was a kal v'chomer. Listen, we could all stay here and do nothing, in which case we're sure going to die. Or we could send Binyamin down to Egypt, and maybe we have a chance of success. So it's better to go to reach for the suffix, the questionable approach, than it is to reach for the approach that's certainly going to fail. So the Chidushi Aleiv, Rav Henoch Leibowitz, points out that even sometimes settling for the thing that you obviously have to do, sometimes that itself is a victory. Sometimes it is clear what the answer is, and yet it still is difficult to be able to accomplish that task. So he quotes from the he quotes an interesting idea from the Das Akein and Bali Tosfos. Das Akein appears on the page of the Mikras Gedolos, but not in the red ones that we use. Bias, it appears in the back. But the Das Akein quotes in the very first pasuk in Parshas Korach, that one of the people mentioned, Vayikach Korach ben Yisrael ben Kas ben Levi v'dasan v'aviram, right? Korach, Dasan, and Aviram, v'on ben Peles ben Eruvain. And on ben Peles, and the Bnei Reuven. So what happened to Onan Peles? He doesn't appear anymore the rest of the parsha.
His
wife told him not to go. His wife said, you shouldn't be doing this. So what was the argument that his wife used to him not to do this? So the argument his wife used was... yeah, very good. You knew that?
Yeah,
my nafkal amina. What difference does it make? E Moshe Rabbe is Talmida, E Korach Rabbe is Talmida. Right? You're still going to be a loser. Right? You're still not going to be the one that's in charge. So why are you getting all excited about Korach being in charge? You're still going to be a nothing. Right? You're still going
to
be a schlep. Right, so you might as well just do nothing. And then he says to her, well, what am I supposed to do? I already gave my word. She says, well, you stay inside, and I'll keep them away. And then she took her shetel off and started combing her hair, and nobody there comes close to her tent, and that's how she was victorious. So she gave the obvious argument, and still it was questionable, right? So sometimes even the obvious argument has to be enunciated and explained and convinced and cajoled, and... sometimes that is necessary, so maybe it still was a victory for Yaakov. However, the Medrash, what?
Except that Israel is used before that. It's introduced for the first time when he says, why did you treat me so ill? By telling
the... Yeah, but I would argue that that's already beginning to come around. That's Pasuk Vav, right? The first one is right Pasuk Vav, and it's again, right? Bayomer Yudai Yisrael and Pasuk Ches, right? But I think that that's already him realizing that he has no chance. He wasn't asked, that was a rhetorical question, right? Why are you treating me so ill? But that's what I want to focus on now. Was the Medrash is very critical of Yaakov for that term, that the fact that he says in Pasuk Ches, Bayomer Yisrael, Lama Hariosem Li, why did you treat me so ill by doing this? Right, so comes the Medrash in Medrash Rabbah Tzadi Aleph Yud, according to the standard Vilna edition count. So why do you treat me so ill? Rabbi Levi ben B'shem Rabbi Chama Bar Chanin mi olam lo amar Yaakov avinu davar shel batala ella kan, that he never said anything idle other than this instance. What was so idle? What was so bad about this comment? So there's two approaches that are given. Either he was complaining about the fact that he was in this difficult situation. I mean, why are you being so bad to me, Hashem? Like, why am I stuck in this situation where I have to choose between eating or sending my child down to Egypt? So it's A, complaint, or against Hashem, or B, it's a complaint against the brothers. I mean, he's telling the brothers, whatever word you want to use, people, come on! Yeah, think for a minute. And why did he have to reveal that there is this other brother named Binyamin? You could have gotten away. What's wrong with you? But he's blaming his misfortune on their actions. Right? Which is problem. That's what the Medrash is perhaps complaining about. Why are you blaming God? If it happened, it happened. Right now it's time to move on. A similar concept with regards to not taking revenge. Why was there a prohibition to take revenge? So one of the ideas suggested is that taking revenge is a demonstration of false emunah, of false faith. Right? That I don't believe it came from Hashem. I believe that it's your fault. Therefore, I'm going to take it out on you. Right? And that perhaps, work on a military, whatever. But in terms of the one-on-one revenge, this person cut me off, so I'm going to try to cut him off. So once the action happens already, so it's accepted, and then we figure out how to move on from there. So this medrash is critical of Yaakov for this claim of lama hari yosem li. Why are you so... why would things so bad for me? Yeah.
It's as if he's not. He doesn't believe Hashem did this. The kids. Why are you being so bad for me? I mean,
well, it's one of the.
Why doesn't he understand that all things come from Hashem?
Ah.
There's a reason.
Very good.
The kids are doing.
Wow. So you're quite a tzaddik.
Yeah.
That's true. That's what the Medrash is saying. That he's being critical of Yaakov for not having that emunah, for not realizing that everything is coming from Hashem. And he said, and Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he osik lahamlich hasbeno b'mitzrayim. He says, I worked so hard to get your son to be king in Egypt, and yet you're saying, why is my life so difficult? So who omer nistra darkim Hashem elukai, and that's based on pasuk in Yeshaya. My way is hidden from Hashem, and my cause is passed by my God. So Alan is sitting there and saying, well, what are you being so critical of Yaakov for? How's he supposed to know? Yeah. Hashem's like, I've done so much for you. I got your king, the kid to be king in Egypt.
Yeah, no, how does he know that now?
So how's Yaakov supposed to know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. So how's Yaakov supposed to know?
No.
How's Yaakov supposed to know? So the...
why is he bringing in you're going to go there, you're going to see the kid, as kid runs Egypt.
So comes the Chidush Alev. Chidush Alev of Henoch. This is two different essays that I kind of mushed together here. But he turns around and says, yeah, he is being critical of Yaakov. Tzemach is arguing, how's Yaakov supposed to know? Yaakov should realize that everything's being for the best. Okay. And the Chidush Alev says, yeah, he should have realized everything's for the best. And the fact that he's turning around to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should be criticized. Should be criticized because he's not doing the right thing right now. Turns him around and says, but it's Yaakov Avinu. Right, how could we assume that Yaakov Avinu has, and Yaakov Avinu greatest of all avos. It's Yaakov Avinu, how could it possibly be? So he says,
He's human.
He's human, and he had this challenge. And there, it doesn't mean that he totally lacked emunah. It doesn't mean he totally lacked emunah. There is different levels to emunah. There is ways to grow in emunah. And emunah, having faith in Hashem, is having a relationship with Hashem. And relationships are either waves or rubber bands, depending on which side of. Which sex you are. That's terminology from men. Are whether you're a Venetian or a Martian, it will depend on whether it's a rubber band or a wave. But yeah. It is something that fluctuates, and therefore that is and Yaakov is fluctuating. He had a difficult note right here, and that's why he's criticized by the Medrash. Yeah.
But I throw something out there where it fits Israel into my concept of when they use Israel and Yaakov.
After.
Real quick. Israel is like the spiritual of the legacy of the nation, of the generations.
Uh-huh.
So could this be some sort of allusion to the prophecy that at some point, Menashe and Ephraim, the 10 tribes are going to leave, and Benjamin and Judah is going to stay. So he's talking about, what did you treat yourself ill, meaning that what's going to happen in the future?
He's complaining not about something that's happening now, he's complaining about something that's going to happen in the future.
Right.
Okay. Okay, I don't have a complaint. That's what the Netziv was doing, by the way. The Netziv, maybe it's according to Yerushalayim, he's saying, this can't be, if he's using Yisrael, it's not about now, it's about the future, and that's why the Netziv had to stick in this shot.
Right.
But, yeah.
Just talking about all those other stuff.
I still find it challenging. But the Medrash is clearly pointing out that this is a difficulty with, that this is a challenge with Yaakov. It's critical of Yaakov. He's a Baal Emunah. Okay, Baal Emunah have challenges. I think I mentioned here before, not actually went and tracked down the article, but about, I remember reading this 7-8 years ago, it had a big impact on me. There's an article in Time, there's a book that was published about Mother Teresa. And Mother Teresa, known as being Tzaddikus, right? Rebbetzin.
We'll have to open it up.
And the book was published, and they took, you know, when these big books are published, sometimes they take a chapter or an outtake and they put it in, like Time Magazine would run it. So Time Magazine ran a couple pages from this book, and it was about this issue, that apparently there were letters that Mother Teresa wrote that one can trace them, that for almost 50 years she lacked faith. She wasn't nun the entire time, she was in it, but she had challenges in terms of her emunah in God and etc. Right? Whatever that is. That's what it writes there. So I've had these conversations with people that they say, I'm not feeling it. So all right, you don't
have to. Yaakov ever, like Moshe Rabbeinu, when he lacked faith, he was punished. Was Yaakov ever punished for, if the interpretation is that he had some sort of?
I don't know if that's Moshe lacked faith and then did it. I don't see any.
You don't see any sort of.
The Medrash ends there. It just says that he's criticized. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be criticized in the Medrash. So.
The lack of faith, or I mean, you don't get punished for lack of faith.
So both of these are an emptiness of faith. Just a lapse of for a moment of a true 100% emunah that really everything is going on for the best. And that's where he was came up short a little bit.
When you mentioned Mother Teresa, I'm just wondering, she stayed in that environment where with the hope.
Right, so I think that's the pshat. When we have in Judaism that we have two aspects, when we have the things that we do and we have the things that we believe, and I think they fluctuate against each other, right? That sometimes the doing is a little lax, but we have to kind of maintain our belief, and sometimes the belief is lax, but of course we are constantly doing, so that's the mechanism in order to bring it back. So I think I don't think that's so terrible to say right around here. So the Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichas Musar has an interesting points out that if you look at Parshas Vayetze, what's the story of Parshas Vayetze? That's Yaakov running away from his parents and getting to the point of coming back to meet Esav. Right, that segment of his life where Laban tricks him, Laban runs after him, we have an argument, Laban is trying to kill him, and all of that stuff, his wives are fighting with one another, so Vayetze is written without breaks. There's no pauses, there's no the samachs and the peis that make gaps in the Torah, so the Vayetze is written straight through, while other periods, the Torah does have gaps. So Chaim Shmulevitz says the gaps are there for you to think about it, you to just reflect on what happened, etc. So Vayetze is written without gaps to demonstrate that these things, when terrible, bad things are going on, when things are difficult, that's leading to something else. You have to remember that there's something else that's going to come out of it. And it quotes this Medrash as saying that Yaakov then had it, and it seems like this was a little bit of a lacking of it. This Medrash is being critical of Yaakov in this instance, but it doesn't negate the fact that he had very strong emunah throughout all of his periods that he was spending in Laban's house. And sometimes these difficult things are even to bring about rejuvenation in one's emunah. There is in the Mechtav Meliyahu of Dessler, in volume 5, page 282. So it quotes the Medrash about that Paro was getting close when he was chasing the Jewish people after they left Egypt. So Paro was getting close. So Shehikriv as Yisrael to Tshuva. Why? Paro Hikriv? That he brought Yisrael back to Tshuva. That they complained. They said, oh, it was so great when we were with Paro, and what are we going to do now? And things are going to be terrible. Are there not enough graves in Egypt? All the things that they complained. But yet, they called out to Hashem, and the Medrash concludes, V'lama asa Kadosh Baruch Hu Leam Kach. So why do all these things happen? El Shaya Kadosh Baruch Hu Mit'ave L'Tfilasim. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is desirous of the tefillas. So we often think about, I think when that's taught as an elementary school student, we see this a bunch of times. Why is it that all the Imos had such difficulty having children? Right? Because Hashem wants their tefillas. I mean, that sounds like a pretty selfish thing to do. Right? I'm going to make them suffer because I want to hear them daven. So, and to me. Right? I want them to beg me. So the Mechtav Meliyahu says, no, no, no. Tefillah is not the action of tefillah. Tefillah is the action of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem might put challenges there just enough so that a person will be able to overcome them, recognize the hand of Hashem in their lives, and be able to come close in that way. And then he goes on and quotes this medrash that that Yaakov didn't get there at this point. Yaakov could have surpassed this. Instead, Yaakov complained for a little bit, but that's okay. That happens sometimes. There is
the only thing that is when he told Pharaoh that
spoiler alert.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to see about that. That's coming up. That's excellent. The next parak, actually. All right. So what about Yaakov's complaining about his age and the difficulties in life? All right, that's the next, not the next parak. That's in a couple of prakim. We'll have to get there. So, but there is a famous Gemara. The Gemara in Maseches Pesachim tells us that we make the bracha. The Gemara in Brachos, also Gemara in Pesachim, alludes to this. That she'olam yehi adam ragil lomar kol ma'ida avid rachmana l'tav avid. That a person should get used to saying everything that Hashem does is for the best, and that's actually the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva, right? The Gamzul Tov, that he was in the middle of he came to a town, no one would let him stay in the town, and then he went out and found a place to stay, and then his fire got burnt out, and then his chicken got eaten, and the whole time he said that all these things are for the best. In the morning, it turns out that there are robbers that came in, or perhaps the what else is the not the robbers, but the Romans who were coming and searching for him came in, and because all these things happened to him, so therefore he was able to be saved. So what does that mean about that time, right? But who tamua, or Salvechik is quoted in Mipnini Arab, and saying that's wild, right? Halokish Adam Shari Bitsar Khalila Umargish Makorushama or Bemidas Adin Hakol Mitsuva Hu Lizok Bachol Koka Lashani. So what do you mean? When things are bad are happening to a person has to call out to Hashem and say, you know, this is bad. What do you mean this is good? This is bad. You can't just go around saying that everything is bad. So Ubir Bazar Rabenu Shikashira Adam Shari Bitsara Alav La Hargish Ulahamin Shalamarus Masha Akshav Bemes Rahu, that despite the fact that what now is really bad, Sofashal Inyan Ba'as Yelato, that at the end it's going to end up being for the good. I mean, you don't have to go around saying that this is good, that this the person is suffering or Israel is being challenged. Oh, that's a good thing. Right? That doesn't have to be a person's emunah. A person's emunah just has to be that there is a plan, that this is something that we're going to get past, and one has the right to say, I hope to get to that result without so much pain along the way. Isn't there a line fiddler on the roof like that?
What?
No, a fiddler on the roof line. But no, I'm thinking of something else. Couldn't Hashem choose somebody else every once in a while?
Yeah, right,
that's in the beginning.
Like that. Yeah.
So that's not exactly fits
well,
in.
I just spoke to Sheldon, who's at Harnick.
I
don't have his email address. So.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's available.
But that concept is out there.
So
So I think it's okay every once in a while, even despite the fact that the we put our avos certainly on a pedestal, every once in a while to point out that they're human as well, and that also raises their overall esteem in our eyes as well. All right, so here.